series, which brings us to tonight. Monthly series that we've developed to showcase some of the most innovative and talented contemporary poets. And tonight we're excited to hear from C. Russell Price and Valerie Wallace. Our first reader, C. Russell Price, holds a BA from the University of Virginia and an MFA from Northwestern University. Previous publications include Court Green, Mi Poesias, North Chicago Review, Weave, and elsewhere. He currently works with Tri-Quarterly and Story Club magazine. He's been a finalist for the Boston Review Discovery Award, the Edies Award for Emerging Artists, and the Russell Prize, potentially named after him. He lives on the north side of Chicago where he paints and plays piano. Please join me in welcoming C. Russell Price.
Thanks, D-Money. Wow, you're tiny. So I'm going to read a bunch of different stuff. First few poems from my first collection, and then the second stuff from a later work. Virginia, 1999. The snapdragons are Methodists singing sweet tea for everyone, even for the chalk nubs that made the fault-cracked driveway a sea. Everything is wild. The honeysuckle, the berries, the animals caught in cages at night, immovable lightning bugs. John Lennon crawls out the window as my mother does casserole dishes. Back in the yard, my father's digging a grave or a garden. Before a stranger stole the kickball sun midair, everything smelled fresh tar scent, that new fresh paint. Alone in a tree someone would soon swing from, I made myself a million others, not tobacco farm married, not even one street light. Inside a withering hyacinth bush, I am a witch doctor with my neighbor's compost peppers. I'm carving your name into dirt. I'm learning back roads, blue highways, the whole zoo sky to show you one Sunday a few decades from now, where we forget the city and the sales tax, the city before that and the gear shift. And then, as if the body only left with right turns, opens up to an unending forest. Ars Poetica. So an Ars Poetica poem is pretty much a poem that's talking about why you write poetry or why you come to poetry. So this is gonna give you a feel for the rest of the reading. Ars Poetica will take our turn singing dirty rap songs. The world needs more drag you out into the street poetry. Enough with dishwashing, watching your kid throw a fucking baseball for the first time. Give me all that you can't pick up the phone and tell someone. No more souls or truth or freedom. Abort your breathy abstractions. All my women moderately pissed off come to the page ink tongue spitting. The best of all the dirty words is complacency. Next to meta. Next to organic. And for the writer who's breathing without seething over love's legality or the sensitivity of someone else's womb, I've got something for his punk ass. Trigger after trigger of untouchable topics, a love for the words pussy and chartreuse, a whole catalog of men, ass-shaken lines. Boy, where you came from is not where you are. E. Bishop, the baddest of all bitches, said, write it. Yoshime, it'd be tragic if all those evil robots win. If we settled for so much mediocre meditation, the fluff pass of a cute poem, I'd order recession on your bullshit. Some books should be burned. Can you hear the gear flick of my Bic, hungry for all those darlings you've wasted? The Feather Factory. First, a touchdown, then a suitcase full of bramble weeds. The duct tape door frame of your beat up dad's car can only carry you there. This is more of a manifesto for how to hit bedrock. Go where there are no geese. Say you spent a whole life rolling down the river, make Montana exotic again. Inside the Feather Factory, you name each bird after a girl you've loved and left. The world needs a lot less Kates. Do this long enough for your heart to sink with each ruby honk, then, like how you came, drop it all for some other town. As your car pulls down serpentine streets, leaving me awaiting for an unarriving bus, make me miss you like the cold face of a pillowcase. To your secret lover, Sarah, with an H. I am myself, and that is not enough to keep you, my fire ant mess, another night from whomever she is. She is because you are gone, and my world crumbles at the sound of her call. Outside my window, you talk to Sarah with an H, cut yourself off at two beers. With all my tongues, I'd carve an ampersand into your extra rib. I would dolly wash your face, my melting golden pocket watch. And once, in her pussy palace of brownstone and gentrification, does she smell the smoke I left in places I did not touch? Does she turn on herself and slip into her fuck suit? She's the kind of girl who owns a rickety oak headboard just for all the noise two bodies can make. I want to say to her, you're the kind of man who will leave when his lover gets plumper, how I've survived on rice and spite on this strange sky blue hunger for you. How she should find me when she starts naming her dream spawn. How I'll give her prints of our antebellum home, our three Hebrew boys, how she'll know another she's come along. So this next one is kind of a cento, which is a poem in which you take other lines from other works and mesh it into a poem. Bluegrass. In New York City, someone said they saw you singing the blues near dumpster puddles and gutter spit. Your ukulele case, mouth open, catching quarters, wadded ones, Dixie flag inlaid in lid, your twang still echoing down southbound. In the Twin City with almost 3 million, someone's gotta look a lot like you. His mouth is bound to move in that long liquid ooh, that perfectly pitched E vibrato, shaking me heart to head. No regrets, Coyote. The boulevard is not that bad. Even with you stuck somewhere else, strumming that the moon is the only light we'll see. Even with the trash caught under tracks, the trains roaring dead stop, even in your yodel, a bit of me sings back. Take me with you, I'll tell you everything. So I used to be a telemarketer, which meant I would call people in random places and then fantasize about what those towns were. Apparently Blue Island is not that nice, but this is a poem called Peru, Illinois. Whoever made the sugar cane so sweet never heard doo-wop sound so sad. When I'm on my knees, the world hits a flat when her mouth makes that last liquid ooh. How can you count all the dead we make love to? Day after day, another singer drops. You zip your fly and walk out with one last lick of cherry chapstick, and their voices loop, and the shadows settle in ceiling corners. Their songs spark our dirty sheets. After a quarter century, I come back to you, Peru, and love everything you said and everything you didn't. Another thing, if it gets weird, you can feel free to laugh, because this one's going to get weird. You and me and the devil makes three. My mother went back to Jesus after she'd given up Nutella for 4 months. As has my drug dealer, who, MIA come Sundays, is with his mom third row. I cannot tell her that he likes to watch me when all I see is rent, rent, rent. She is melting away, kill-ridden, and he says, one more time, baby, as his hands light a life pipe. Lately, the world has been Listerine blue with you two away in a godhouse. I spend the days showering, hand-wringing the happy birthday ritual. In the mirror, I recite, this is what's remained after a family of cutting. Some bodies are not made for so much rain. He runs a delivery. She goes back to the black flat gym. Working has become a regular white lie. Why we cannot talk, why I cannot come. In agreement with the couch, I've taken up to a binder of days, food intake, positive body affirmations. Everyone's getting clean and sober, and I'm all, this is what a mouth is really for. After sex, his MS has crab curled him. We smoke, I text her, laundry is the worst. Once home alone, I drag tubs into the street. I cover trees and shower curtains. With the last claw on the curb, I roar to the thunderbirds. I know what I would do if around the bend came that cream death machine. I put plates out of an unlearned habit. I count the cash and check boxes. I still sleep, walk right on walls. What I'm trying to say is, you two should have known each other in the air. In another life, before butchers, before the sterilizing scent made y'all sweat. Last Sunday, his father died. I fold his things. He says, save space for what I bring back. So now on to apocalypse love poems. Just a few of these. This is called The Only Living Boys in New York. It was the year of gas masks and no more coffee or grocery store trips. We've gone about this new kind of living nonchalantly. Our bed, 500 cans of food. I will know you have made it back by raising the mailbox bannered arm. At night, in bed beside me, we describe magnolias and what scent comes with an acidless breeze. Our mornings are mostly spent looking out the window at what dogs are left, dragging the liquor man's family down the street, where a whole horde of Tim Johnsons rip them belly to limb to bone. The day the bomb dropped on this island that you loved, some simply jumped out shutterless windows or off buildings. Who wants to feel the death cloud cover them like a wave anyway? We agreed that a watermelon splitting was the closest sound for all the fallers, that if either you or I should not come back, the other would not go looking. Stay in the house with the world's last songbird. Bathing together, we count each other's cuts while he chirps and chirps and chirps. One day, either you or I will walk out onto the courtyard, thinking it months ago, maskless, and it will feel like a sea came in. It will be an eternal September. You'll think you smell honeysuckle. You'll think my arm is around you. You'll hear something caged singing. What do you miss most, the body or the shadow? Yeah, right. That was good. Okay, last few. Human flesh search engine. In the taqueria steam, you make an organ cooler of me with your neon Jack Daniels dusty kiss. The city is in shambles, and we're somehow still breathing within our generation of body stackers. My sweet, beat me up around the old oak tree. Call me, at least once, your southern comfort. I've measured our love in bottle caps and beer boxes. I dismantled the ceiling fan last night because you were so far away and I've been sleepwalking. Happy people kill themselves all the time. The happy music we put on as we fuck, my hands raw Cloroxed hummingbirds. The last night you slept on my green as a sea set tea, I soft shoe to the kitchen, blew out the pilot, each shallow breath another knob turning up. You said, ugly girls write the best poetry. On my loneliest nights, I slip into someone else. With a bad blonde wig and a coworker's hand-me-down dress, I dance on all the floors of my apartment as if my body is everything, flying out of a wild, unlocked sanctuary, an unused office building collapsing. This is the poem in which things don't end so horribly. We're in a town 10 miles from Tuscaloosa. We've imported hanging moss because you're sick of my stories about men just swinging like that. Today, the news is all good because we haven't talked to anyone, and the booze we make in our backyard is full of only springs and summers. Before we moved here, things fell down. First, a satellite, and then one by one, planes, birds, and when our house was hit with a blimp, we felt lucky. In this town of just the two of us, I don't question your choke grip. You do not hold my wrist for daily inspection. At night, we fuck the trailer park out of each other. The men outside hear us in the mosquito alley where they used to burn things, and if there were even coyotes left, they would respond as if you could forget how and why things howl. Last one. I'll take you to Berlin to get rid of the baby. Which is a line Paul Celan said to his lover Ingeborg Bachmann. He was married and she got preggers, and he was like, I'll take you to Berlin to get rid of the baby. So, sweetheart. Passing by the broken hearts growing in the window boxes down Rosemont, I miss you very little, if at all. A family of possums crosses the street after church, and the father says, go ahead, it's only suffering. When I reach the bar, the tender recites, you're waking empty, step out from that ledge, my friend. At the urinal, I piss spell your name and knock three times on the ceiling and wander out to CVS. What color? What shade to slide up my sleeve? There's no 14-year-old Texan girl who just got dumped. Instead, I settle for Onyx Rush 445, and the beep of please scan your card shatters the heart plane overhead. Once home, I make myself a lady, busy writing thank you cards while drinking whiskey from a mason jar. The neighbors knock and want to join in on destroying your everything with a prescribed burning. We open every window while the steel drum crackles with acrylics dripping, poems smoldering. We crank the speakers till the jack ripples. My room is an ash field at the moment. The neighbors cling to one another. They know something has died. The dustpan comes around the corner and we say dark things to each other. Thanks.
Thanks, Russ. That was awesome. E. Bishop, the baddest of all bitches. What a great line. Next up is Valerie Wallace. Valerie's work was selected by Margaret Atwood for the 2012 Addy Award and has been supported most recently by the Illinois Arts Council, Ragdale Foundation, Midwest Writers Center, and Vermont Studio Center. She teaches with the City Colleges of Chicago and Newbery Library and is an editor with Rhino, an advisory board member for the Afghan Women's Writing Project. Her chapbook, The Dictator's Guide to Good Housekeeping, is available from Dancing Girl Press and also available through her if you should like to buy it after her lovely reading. Please join me in welcoming Valerie Wallace.
Thanks. Oh, there's nothing down. This is called Jezebel Remembering. It was like the first time your hand touches a married man's thigh, or when you lean over the velvet rope right before you touch the painting, or the moment you slip the lipstick from the shelf to your purse, when you cover your crying child's mouth and say, shut up. It was the moment you join your husband's enemy on the ledge while he smokes, and you place your hand at his back, then push. This one is layover. I drove out to meet her, parked the car, waited in the nave between airport security in the wide hallway to the open air, and thought about how I joked with the doctor that hopefully I was as young inside as he said I looked outside, and he didn't smile. She walked toward me, and I remembered her reaction on the phone. "They'll show you horrible pictures." Only no one showed me any, and in 2 days I'd been swept clean of promise and disaster. She gripped me hard and said, "I sat by the nicest Chinese lady on the plane and told her all about your miscarriage." And something inside me fell gracefully. I looked across the airport gallery, the families and travelers, the guards and wash tiles, marveled at the depth of fear, and I spoke the word right there in the airport. "The word I'd done," I said. And she said, "Don't tell my friends." And the thing that had fallen inside became unstrung, bloodless, and I felt a fierceness rise I had never afforded myself. I reached around what had been let go, surrounded with my body protecting where it had been, what was uncried, undowned, what would not be a lie, mother. Here's Cafe Cubano. Cubano. Cafe Cubano. The mouth opens its arms. The arms cry to be welcomed. This is the way we speak when we drink Cuban coffee. Night knows what's done the next morning when light takes over the room and cartwheels down our shoulders. When the smell of coffee makes you sway with pleasure. That's what I'm telling you. Coffee smooth as a tongue, stir till the spoon becomes your hand, till your hand becomes what you lean over to tell me what I want to hear. The poem stays, and the epigraph is, "Abortions will not let you forget," which Gwendolyn Brooks wrote. When she wrote about the damp small pulps in 1945, it was her first book. And she was black, 20, small, and she was a woman. The editor said, "Miss Brooks, please remove this poem." And she said, "The poem stays." In those days, editors descended from a long train full of men who lived in houses where things unspoken happened, speeding away from things beginning to turn. I like to think of them standing in Random House, her little sheaf inside a warehouse of stacked words. What is there to say about a poem complete and its understanding of what never was by a writer who would not be shaped by silence? Of two people in a dim room, one in white shirt sleeves, one adjusting her hat before she steps out to the sidewalk and squints up at the sun. Here's Limoncello and Positano. The glass is wet from the sea rising. I consider the lemon cleaved open, bright and lonely, a quilt of leaves, warm as sex. Soon I'll walk out to the dark night where old men line the shelf on the curve because the moon is settling blue in the fog. The yellow bowl of defeat and fortune flips. Desidero un bicchiere di tulipani. Conceive red peppers migrate toward peaches. At night it's the throb of fat lemons that swell a landscape. I think you will never make a regular journey of walking home. I want to hold moments like this in my mouth because they will not line my veins forever. I sip Limoncello and Positano. The sea stirs below. Trucks quiet their motors. The beautiful woman who kicks dogs carries boxes of fruit inside. Okay. So then I have some poems from a project as well, which is about the work and life of the late Alexander McQueen, a fashion designer. And I learned about him when I read his obituary in February of 2010. This poem is about a piece of clothing he designed, which became iconic and influenced pants. Very, very low dropped waist. Trousers for the nape. Black silken zipper. Savile Row burlesque mashup. Trousers for the nape at the other end. Backs, wrist, satisfaction of the supple spine. That's where a finger might go. Unequivocal plum. How milk wears the glass. Whiskey wears the tumble. How no one actually needs a virgin. Okay, and I have a cento. These lines are from Tom Raworth. And now they're a sonnet in the voice of Alexander McQueen, and it's called Fabrication. I don't understand my own mind, though I use my own dream. I've just eaten an orange and put the peel to dry on top of the stove so I can smell it. It would be very rash to say a brilliant crosslight does comprehend the unrelenting world. I'm still waiting for my soul to catch up with me. I can take people in ones and twos, but at dinner, everyone's full of shit. Some are bad with a bit of good in them, and some are good with a bit of bad in them. In the last light of evening, chance to look through endless corridors as it flapped off, see, the world is not a mirror. And here's one called Needles. When we love at night, and I don't know the people who will feed me, and the moon turns blue. Maybe extra licentiousness or affectionate games. Maybe body's true beauty and its soothing filth. When the world strips down, love is first a lesson, and then like a mattress's teeth steps into the mirror. When I stare and brood, as I do often, on manliness of all brutal acts, people fetch each other in and out of shadows. Our wrestle with hair, what dress to wear. Needles of down, parachutes of arrested color, tied with fangs. I may be tough and selfish, but what do you expect? I think with my bare hands. And those were some corrupted lines from Frank O'Hara. So this poem I'm just going to show you. It's kind of a weaving. And I'm going to read it one way and then the other way. It's called McQueen Linen, with a line by Mark Doty. I design the shows when I find the body's perimeter. I will not pull back if you take even my skull. As stills, I've tried to tell you what I see, gesture toward everything you will soon be. If you look, they tell, no place for fear. It's intricate, our body's wreckage, the way we have got uncovered. The whole story I show myself, altars, silver dream, but radiant, waking, all of us born to let everything go still. I design the shows as stills. If you look, they tell the whole story. When I find I've no place for fear, I show myself. The bodies tried to tell you it's intricate. Altars, perimeter, what I see, our bodies, silver dream. I will not gesture wreckage, but radiant waking. Pull back toward the way we, all of us born. If you take everything, you've got to let everything go. Even my skull will soon be uncovered, still. This is McQueen's bop with the interviewer. I've tried my best to get away from the little black dress. That uniform makes mine eyes glaze over. How can you trust counterfeit elegance? There's something ignorant in women who wear sparrows. I want people to be afraid of the women I dress. Waif who needs rescuing isn't romance. I see naivete. I know what can happen. Someone's life is burning from this world's brutal kiss. I am, you are, the voyeur, the mirror. I want people to be afraid of the women I dress. This is sartorial, but oh softness, oh radiance. Leather, locusts, shells, fur. The clothes I make don't acquiesce. Here is the fang, the net, art of armor. I want people to be afraid of the women I dress. And then I've got about, I'm going to read three from a longer poem in which I don't know that this is necessary to tell you, but here I go. So anyway, I made lexicons for each of these stanzas from vocabularies of women who McQueen dressed. So then I just, sort of built the poem from those words. And this one goes like this. Who was I? Asking with women and concepts, the whole butterfly night of the world, and why a wing in a mirror could interpret it, and the body's grief and courage. My life begins with every question I face. In each wild shape, my surgery finds when I call out my name with my touch. I know the deep privacy of the possibly lost. Am I meant to be tempted as I am? Unwrap intimacy, take its top off, go deeper to nerve and blood and calm. Everything feels wild, nothing feels young. I have found beauty, pulled back the cover, and in my time was some kind of wonder. Those were all words that Naomi Campbell said. And then this one is a lexicon from a friend of his named Isabella Blow, who discovered him out of graduate school. For instance, today I slashed fragility. I'm not a nun in a bloody convent. I haven't got a fashion personality. I snort. I'm a pig, not a silent flower. Nothing happens by being mute. My hands, my mouth, explore borders to close the body. Even suicide has a cloth. I design armor for the battlefield. I cast power into the subjective. Show hideous is delicious. Look at the ostrich who clomps in on duck shoes. The tuna who desires more than the deep sea hush. Does my craftsmanship exact a price? Darling, come. One thing's for certain, we'll never die of boredom. And that's a very dark aside, because both she and he died of suicide, not boredom. But a friend of hers mentioned that at her funeral, so I stole it. And then this one is of his very good friend Annabelle Nielsen, who we visited the night before. Who he had come over the night before he died. I never thought it was a coincidence that I loved deep water more than whispering stars, a sort of protective, surrounding peace. Ocean darkness has that power. I may not be especially religious, but a choice to believe anything but wonder is taken from you when you dive deep. I do find inspiration at the bottom of the sea. Midnight, moonlight, excitement, flare. Idea of beauty living by its own private energy. Nothing about the ocean is weak. It's got its own vocabulary, its millions of one true moment. The ocean gives, and what it gave me is I felt understood. Found closure and renewed vision in a place so vibrant. a bit like singing inside a gospel choir. For a time, you could believe you were a vessel, but if you kept at it, you'd discover you were just a gold thread weaving through. And I'm going to finish with another poem about a piece of clothing, which is a kind of corset, but it had the had wings come off of it. It's called Winged. The old masters got them wrong. Their locations, at least, not pinned at the spine like a moth or the bone blade spurt. From the tiny bloom of sternum, I swept over shoulders, fanned, arced, slit for heavy arms. How on earth do you expect to walk in them? Ha. Behold, balsa ribbons, planed, laced bindings, not for flight, but descent. How will you care for me? Keep me from fire. It sings, you know. Consecration, consolation, a promise to be ever sown into the sun. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie, and thank you, Russ. C. Russell, however you're going by these days. Our next reading is on February 19th, featuring Jason Breedle, Lana Rockman, and Alex Ann Shaw. Another housekeeping thing is we have many readings in between now and March, but we're really excited to partner with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and our Hands-on Stanzas program, and we're going to be having a really adorable young poets reading at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra on March 20th and 21st. And they'll be reading poems that correspond with Carnival of the Animals suite. So that's really exciting. If you want more information about that, you can talk to our lovely executive director, Beth Sampson. As always, these readings are free, and we're excited to give them to you. But if you would like to donate to the Poetry Center, you can visit poetrycenter.org and click that support button at the top and then give us your money. But, you know, we're gracious for that money. Additionally, you can sign up for our newsletter there, and you can find out ways to donate otherwise or be part of different fundraisers that we have coming up. To sign up for our newsletter or to get more information about events, there's also a newsletter sign up in the back. So thank you again, and have a great night. Stay warm. Yeah.